Hello, it's Alex.
Oh, hi, Alex. Adam Banty. How are you going?
I'm very well. You're incredibly prompt.
Yeah, if that's all right, I thought I'd just be punctual and just get it start on time.
Okay, that's fantastic. I'm taking it. It's okay if I record this?
Yes.
And would you have a problem if I publish the recording as well as the text, or...?
No, that's fine.
Okay, all right, beaut. Okay, well, I think this is the first time we've spoken to you since you've become Leader of the Greens. So firstly, just to congratulations on becoming Leader.
Thanks very much.
As I'm sure you're aware, the COVID-19 issue has just had an overwhelming impact on social and political life at the moment, so I'd like to start there. How would you characterise the government's handling of this COVID-19 response?
They a bit too late and a bit too focused on putting business before people. The government should have acted from a much earlier stage when the threat became apparent, but it's the government's economic response that is also telling. They were very quick to shovel billions of dollars out the door to assist large corporations to stay afloat, but there were no strings attached to it, and as a result we saw images of or depression era images of dole queues snaking around the corner. That could have been potentially avoided if they'd listened to the Greens in Parliament and made the support to business conditional on jobs and wages guarantees. It was a mistake to hand out billions without any strings attached, and it's no surprise that businesses started sacking people on day one. The package should have had a jobs and wages focus. The government is now playing catch up and is trying to unscramble the egg, and has delivered some form of jobs and wages guarantees, close to what the Greens have been pushing for. Worryingly, that doesn't cover people who are casuals who are employed for less than 12 months, which is close to a million people in this country. They're going to be the ones most at threat from probably on the lowest incomes, ones in the most difficult situation when it comes to paying for the essentials. And we'll be trying to close that particular loophole. The government's first response also left a number of people behind. It didn't extend the increased Newstart payment to students. The Greens managed to get that fixed by pressure and pressure together working with the community, but we managed to get a ban on evictions, which is very welcome. But people on disability support pensions still don't get the extra payment. Carers don't get the extra payment. We need to have, everyone should be entitled to a decent income, and especially during a time of crisis. So we're going to keep pushing for the government to extend its double Newstart payment to everyone, to make sure that there's no one left behind. On the public health front, I think New Zealand has taken a better approach than Australia. I think the government's reluctance to act quickly stems in part from their desire to just continue business as usual, and it took them a little while to realise the scale of the problem, and that the government's first instinct wasn't to put human life above business as usual, and as a result they're a bit slow to get going on the public health response.
Yes, okay. What would you see then as the priority measures to be adopted right now?
Firstly, ensuring no one is left behind, and that means making sure every group in society has access to a guaranteed income through this crisis. Not only banning evictions and foreclosures, but also making sure that rent and mortgage holidays are given where they're needed, so that we don't find ourselves in 6 months with people having huge debts and being in significant stress at that point. We need a significant expansion of our public healthcare system. The One of the things that's going to get us through this is a strong public health system, something that governments have attacked over many years and decades. That's going to be our significant front line of defence. We need to significantly expand our public health system and the equipment in it. I'm worried that we don't have enough ventilators in intensive care beds, for example, and we need to expand that. And if we need to have a look at saying the private sector now has to be subsumed in the healthcare sector, has to be subsumed to the public good, then that's something that we should look at too.
Yep. Actually, I was going to ask about exactly that because, I mean, this crisis, I think, as in other crises in the past, has revealed the inadequacy of the private sector in dealing with crisis. I guess in particular, you know, it's the public hospitals sacking nursing staff. I mean, there's other examples from overseas of companies trying to impose patents and such like and not really looking after people in those sort of context. Many people, I think, have drawn anti-capitalist conclusions from this experience, or even if not that far, at least are more open to ideas such as nationalising private hospitals or bringing Qantas back into public ownership. Do you have any comments about that?
Yeah, the things that are going to get us through this crisis are all the things that neoliberals spent 30 or 40 years telling us were impossible. Putting human need above a budget surplus, having a strong public healthcare system, having governments that act on independent advice in the interests of the public good rather than in the vested interest, it is the public sector and a human-centred approach to economics that is going to get us through this crisis. Conversely, it's been the attacks, the government attacks on the public healthcare system, attacks on public housing that have left so many people vulnerable to this crisis. We have a homelessness and housing crisis in a very wealthy country, and the government is advising everyone to stay at home, but what if you haven't got a home to stay in? And we've got hundreds of thousands of people on the public housing waiting lists across the country after governments of both persuasions spent years underfunding them, and now we're finding that it's exactly public services like that that are going to get us through. So one of the things that the response to the crisis brings home is that it's actually public services and public institutions acting in the public interest, not invested interests, that are where we turn to in a crisis. So that has been it's not necessarily a lesson that the neoliberals are wanting to draw from this crisis, and we're all going to have to be prepared for when in a few months or a year's time they start to complain that now the cupboard is bare and they've got to wind back the job seeker payments and they can no longer continue to support people who are doing it tough. We're going to have to be prepared for a fight to make sure that we don't go back to having such an unequal society. If there's one thing that the response to this crisis has shown, it's the importance of the public ahead of the private. On the question of government sort of bailing out of corporations, I think the government should look at taking ownership stakes in some of these big corporations that we're being asked to bail out. There's, if the public is going to be exposed to the risk associated with these big corporations and is going to assist them to continue to operate through the crisis, then I think it is fair to ask for an ownership stake in return where appropriate, and in many instances, especially when we're dealing with essential services, I think a lot of people would think that's quite a sensible thing to do.
Yes. Now, thanks. I wanted to turn to climate change. Obviously, before COVID-19 began to dominate public attention, the bushfire crisis, which it feels like so long ago, but really, you know, highlighted the absolute urgency of dealing with the climate crisis. Yet Labor and the LNP both remain committed to miserable or even non-existent climate policies. At the risk of being asked of accusing a Dorothy Dixer, can you just comment on Labor's net zero by 2050 policy?
Well, there's every chance that by 2050 it'll be too late. The science is pretty clear that it's what we do in the next decade that is going to count the most. And we need very, very strong cuts to pollution in before 2030. Otherwise, we may pass dangerous tipping points after which global warming becomes unstoppable. If all that governments and oppositions can do is say, well, we'll take some action by 2050, then in the absence of strong 2030 targets, that's a death sentence. It's a death sentence. And we are very disappointed that the government's 2030 target is woefully inadequate and has us on track for between 3 and 4 degrees of global warming. And so the government's got to go. Like, the government is a government of climate deniers and corporate shills, and they've got to go. But Labor, by dropping its 2030 target, has taken the pressure off Scott Morrison and is contributing to the idea that we can wait several decades when in fact it's an emergency.
So what targets and also what policies to achieve those targets do the Greens support?
Well, we need to get to zero emissions by 2040 at the absolute latest, with the bulk of the work being done by 2030. The electricity sector should be 100% renewable by 2030, with a staged transition plan to replace coal with renewable energy over the next 10 years, looking after affected workers and communities along the way. The whole economy needs to be, the whole society rather, needs to be looking at pollution cuts by 2030, closer to 82% rather than what's the 26% that's being proposed by the government at the moment. And our targets are for 64 to 82% by 2030. That's the kind of, like, we need as much as possible to be zero emissions in as many sectors as we can by 2030, with the remainder of the work being done by 2040.
And you have made support for a Green New Deal a centrepiece policy for the Greens upon becoming leader. So I guess I want to ask, what do you think a Green New Deal should look like? And do you envisage the Green New Deal as an exclusively Greens policy, or is it a project you would consider working with other people to develop and campaign for, in which case what would that collaboration look like?
I think the vision of a Green New Deal is a government-led plan of investment and action, so that's investment and action, to create new jobs and industries as we make Australia more equal. And so the twin underpinnings of it are a public-led program of investment to tackle the climate crisis and the inequality crisis and the jobs crisis that Australia is facing. And the second pillar of it is universal services. So making sure that we are all looked after and that no one is left behind. So making education genuinely free, looking at free childcare, making the understanding that, you know, that we're a wealthy country and that and that universal services are something that's core to what most people in this country think is key to a good life. In terms of and my goals are to turf the government out, get Greens into balance of power in both houses of parliament, and then implement a Green New Deal. And so that will involve working with other parties and independents to make that happen. In 2010, the Greens worked with Labor and independents to put in place a carbon price, get dental into Medicare for kids, and bring about a number of other reforms. I think that we're not that far away from that outcome in Parliament again. It's a very tight Parliament still. If we do our job right in the next election, we could see a change of government, but a shared power parliament. And so, yes, we will work with others to implement it. I've already had discussions with unions about what fighting for a Green New Deal would look like, even had discussions with business as well, sectors of business as well. And it's going to involve people working together across across society to make it happen. We will promote it, but look, you know, imitation's the sincerest form of flattery, and if other parties want to pick it up and make it their own, we'll be very happy about that too.
And do you have any other comments on priorities for the Greens under your leadership?
I think we've got a terrible government, and we want to hold the government, we want to turf the government out, and they're a government of climate deniers who are making inequality worse in Australia. So for me, I mean, my priorities are to get Australia, to tackle the climate emergency, to tackle the inequality emergency, and to tackle the jobs emergency, jobs crisis rather. One of the things that I'll be talking a lot about during the course of my leadership is the importance of decent jobs with good conditions and lifting the minimum wage, lifting rates of pay in Australia at the moment, but also tackling job insecurity. It's especially the case amongst young people. We've got, I mean, before the coronavirus crisis hit, we have nearly one in three young people in Australia either doesn't have enough work or doesn't have a job at all. Now, I think that's a national crisis. The casualisation and increasing insecurity of work has reached crisis point, and it needs to be reined in. Like I said, say more broadly in terms of a focus for me, I think people in this country are feeling very anxious, and part of the reason that people are feeling anxious isn't just the climate crisis, and it's not just the threat of coronavirus. It's because over the last 3 to 4 decades, governments have made a lot of the basics of life very uncertain and no longer guaranteed. So you're no longer guaranteed a roof over your head. You're no longer guaranteed, even if you find yourself lucky to get a job, you could still find yourself living in poverty. Part of government's role should be to guarantee the basics of life for people, and so I'll be fighting a lot on the jobs front, on the housing front, and on making sure that the basics of life are guaranteed and that they're treated as essential public services.
Okay, thank you very much for your time.
Good on you. Thank you.
Okay, have a good run.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, see you then. Bye. So thanks, Adam Bandt. That was Adam Bandt on Green Left, and blah, blah, blah. Oh well, worry about that later on. Okay, see ya.